Hello and welcome back to the Dive and Dig podcasts. For the next few episodes, I'm going to take you to the beautiful island of Malta in the Mediterranean, where the Honor Frost Foundation held their recent Under the Mediterranean conference, hosted by the University of Malta. We had an amazing few days in Valletta listening to an array of papers about maritime archaeology in the Mediterranean. So we thought we would bring a bit of Malta to the Dive and Dig podcasts. The first treat is an interview with Elizabeth Green and Justin Leidwanger talking about their incredible multidisciplinary project in Sicily. And here my colleague Lauren talks to them about their research.
Hello, nice to meet you. We've just listened to a keynote speak from Elizabeth Green, and we're sat here now. Could you just introduce yourself for the podcast?
Sure, I'm Elizabeth Green. I'm a professor of classics and archaeology at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario. I'm also the president-elect of the Archaeological Institute of America.
Amazing, thank you. And we're also joined by Justin. Could you introduce yourself as well?
Sure. I'm Justin Leidwanger. I'm an associate professor of classics at Stanford University and assistant director of the Stanford Archaeology Center.
Brilliant, thank you. Yes, so we just had an amazing keynote speak from Elizabeth, and we were hearing about your project in Sicily. Could you just give us you have done so much there, from, you know, recording underwater sites, coastal sites, terrestrial sites. There's a lot to cover, but are you able to summarise your work for us?
Sure. Our work in Sicily since 2013 has focused on exploring the maritime landscape of Southeast Sicily, with a focus on millennia of interaction, connections, and disconnections around the island's southeast corner. So we began our work in Sicily with the excavation of the late antique church wreck, carrying a cargo of 100 tons of architectural marble. And as part of our work on the church wreck, as a symbol of enduring Roman connectivity, we wanted to see how these connections and disconnections extended throughout the millennia, and is particularly as they reflected local heritage. So we included a study of the fishing traditions of our part of the island, as well as the contemporary boats that have brought displaced peoples across the seas to Sicily.
Mm. Oh, amazing. Yeah, so the bit that really stood out for me, I mean, I've always had a real interest in sort of traditional fishing techniques, was that it was called the matanza, was it? So they were driving the tuna fish and then catching them and processing them. So it was the whole process of the actual vessels that were used, the equipment that was used, all the nets, the huge amount of people that would have been involved in that, and then also the buildings that were associated with that as well. So, and you said about that you were able to undertake some oral histories with fishermen that were involved in that. Could you tell us a bit about how that went?
Sure, absolutely. At this point, I should say it would be great if our colleague Leopoldo Repola was here. He's played a huge role in our work on the Tanara on land and at sea. And he's very eloquent when he speaks about it. The work has truly been fascinating to think through a tradition of fishing that has its origins thousands of years ago as a means of taking advantage of the migrating shoals of Atlantic bluefin tuna that make their way across the Mediterranean. So in Sicily, we see a long process of, in historic times, of a community activity of setting the nets, of organizing the fishing, of waiting for the nets to fill, of bringing up the nets, of killing the tuna, of processing the tuna, and the kind of year-long activities of mending nets, mending boats, and the like. And so our work in Sicily has on the one hand been traditional archaeology, recording 3D modeling of the timbers of surviving boats of this practice, many of which are between 100 and 50 years old. The tradition has died down somewhat with the aging of practitioners, the overfishing of tuna stocks in the Mediterranean. And so we've had the opportunity over the course of our work not just to record the boats, to record underwater the signs of anchors and weights for the nets, but also to speak with some of the aging practitioners of the Matanza. In our work, we've spoken to fishermen, to the rice, the leader of the fishing boats, and also to Bruno di Belmonte, the barone, who was the owner of the complexes in Porto Paulo. And through that, we've had a chance to see some of the records and traditions, the number of fish that were caught in each year, the supplies that were bought as part of this tradition that really both fed the community and supported the community over generations.
Oh, amazing, yeah. And I think, and that's what's really important is engaging with the community. And you were telling us a bit about how you undertook some surveys with the community as well to understand what they perceived as being important in terms of like their maritime heritage. Are you able to tell us a bit about that?
Sure. At the very beginning of our work in Sicily, one of the things that was important to us was to make sure that what we were doing was important for the local communities and engaged with their ideas of a maritime past. When Justin and I first went to Sicily, we were taken diving on the church wreck by Matteo Azzaro, who runs a dive shop, diving industry, and restaurant in Marzamemi. And so he took us to what was a very popular diving site and celebration of the ancient past. After we visited the site, we also had a wonderful meal of tuna and other fish. So for us, kind of fishing and diving and the maritime past of Sicily is connected. But our survey asked people to think about how they thought about the past of Sicily and its archaeological heritage. In those cases, we tended to get answers about the classical past, about archaic Greek colonization. But then when we started asking questions about the Sicilian connection to the sea, the answers were surrounded sustenance and environment and connections to other lands. And so our work really has focused, we've tried, on these connections over millennia between Southeast Sicily and the sea.
Yeah, oh, that's amazing. And then that led to an exhibition, is that right? And your pop-up exhibitions as well. Can you tell us a bit about those?
Sure. One of the goals in us being in working in Sicily collaboratively with the superintendent's office of the sea as well as the local comune has been to develop a new space as a kind of dynamic museum of the sea that would showcase the town's historical relationship with the sea and all its different facets. But obviously those museum projects are very long and in development. And so to do something more immediate and to respond to the interest and the growth of this community over the summer, there's a boom in tourists. There's a boom, especially in Italian tourists in the late summer. We wanted to bring, to develop something with the local comune that would bring some vista, some of these views of maritime heritage right out into the streets where people were walking and having dinner and having their drinks. And so we developed a project, thankfully with the support of the Whiting Foundation in New York City, we developed a project that would center on a series of pop-up boats, of simplified boat geometries in different parts of the town as part of kind of a walking trail. And each one would be themed around one historic shipwreck or one type of boat that was that had a prevalence in the cultural past of this corner of Sicily. And so we had one that centered on a boat we had excavated off the shore from the late Roman period, one associated with the Matanza, with this traditional fishing practice, one about early island colonization and exploration, and one about contemporary migration. And so these became our sort of pop-up exhibit throughout the town, and we developed it in a couple of different phases, starting with one and then doing three. But each of these involved limited text, because we wanted people to kind of experience things, not just read things. And so it allowed people to walk on board these, to walk through the boats in the sort of boat geometries that surrounded them with some panels, some imagery, some video, and different sounds that would cycle through. For example, in the instance of the island exploration or colonization boat, it was a cycle of 2 minutes of leaving, of departure, of waves lapping against the boat and then crashing on rocks and then arrival at another location. So we tried to immerse people in these different vistas from the maritime past as a way of connecting people with this heritage and bringing it right out onto the streets and the piazzas of Marzamemi and southeast Sicily.
That's amazing. I'd love to have seen that. And hopefully, and you mentioned you might be able to go back and put some more of these pop-up exhibits back up soon, hopefully.
Yes, yeah. That's the goal. Each one takes a lot of effort to develop. So we developed one first and then three and next time four or five as part of a trail. And they're accompanied by a website and an app that comes in new iterations so people can immerse themselves more fully in this, in each of these different vistas.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, it's such a great example of, you know, the tangible and the intangible heritage. You're looking at, you know, very ancient shipwrecks, but also very recent boats that have been abandoned on the shores that you've been talking about. So it really demonstrates the breadth of maritime archaeology and, you know, and the importance to the local community as well. So I really enjoyed your talk and thank you so much as well for your time.
That was really interesting. And as Lauren says, it's really important that we make our research relevant to maritime communities and to listen to them about what they consider to be their maritime heritage. And I think this project really showcases that good practice. So thanks to Elizabeth and to Justin, and we'll be keeping an eye on that incredible project. And we'll also be listening to more of the speakers from the Under the Mediterranean Conference in the next few podcasts. So keep tuned and we'll speak to you soon. And thanks for listening to the Dive and Dig podcast, brought to you by the Honor Frost Foundation, a charity that supports maritime archaeology in the Eastern Mediterranean. Thanks a lot and speak to you next time. Cheers.